This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Every year in January, the elite of the world gather. And where do they gather? In Davos, Switzerland. Why do they gather there? Because a fellow by the name of Klaus Schwab, founder of the World Economic Forum and heading it up, demands their attendance. In fact, he says, you guys are the ones that are going to reset the world. You are the ones who are actually going to give us the real New World Order. You're the ones that are going to actually recreate everything that has been common and known among humankind, and we are going to reset the world. It's called the Great Reset. And it's scheduled to take its inopportune entitlement moment in 2030. That's just 6 years from now, my friends. Just 6 years from now. At the loss, at the latest, at the longest, 6 years from now. I want you to think about the closeness of this event. And then coupling that with the 2030 agenda of the United Nations, which is corresponding in many respects to that, and the 2030 agenda of so many other businesses and other organizations throughout the world. 2030 is their objective. But what is this Great Reset anyway? And why should we care? Is this just another thing that's just going to happen out there in a theory and so on, like this, that, or the other, that never happens? Or is this something of such great moment and such great intent that we should pay attention? Today on Viewpoint, we're going to discuss it in that sense. Our special guest, Michael Walsh, is joining us with the book that he has edited called Against the Great Reset. It's a compilation of the viewpoints of 16 world leaders, at least in the Western world, who are speaking concerning the implications of this Great Reset. And my friends, if you think they don't affect you, you've got another think coming. Because the Great Reset is just that. Great. That's how it's envisioned. To reset or change everything. You remember the day when 5 days, I think it was, before the inauguration of Barack Hussein Obama, he said, we are just 5 days away from the fundamental transformation of America. People paid very little attention to that. They thought it was just talk in the wind, but it wasn't for Barack Obama. And we've been experiencing the repercussions of it ever since, even including the current administration. But if you were to take that language from Barack Obama and amplify it on steroids for the world, that's what we're talking about with regard to the Great Reset. And it comes from mankind's great and perpetual dissatisfaction with our present circumstances, whatever they may be, an urge to make the world anew, as old as recorded history, going all the way back to Genesis 11, with the Tower of Babel. So today on Viewpoint, Michael Walsh joining us actually from Greenland. Michael, it's good to have you on the program.
Well, it's Ireland, not Greenland. But
Ireland. I'm sorry. You said it was so green. No wonder I got mistaken.
That's all right.
From Ireland. So that's your place of residence, isn't it?
Among other places, yeah.
Among other places. Okay.
Yeah.
So why the focus? I think I've set a bit of the stage here, and so many of our listeners understand. We've talked about the Great Reset in a variety of different ways, but your editing and compiling of this book and many of the great thinkers of our time is putting a different slant on so many different aspects. Why are you putting this together? Why such an effort at this time?
Well, the Great Reset is, as you mentioned, Chuck, the idea of a man named Klaus Schwab, who's a German industrialist who operates out of Switzerland, specifically Geneva, But in the middle of the winter in January every year, there's a conference in Davos, Switzerland, which is up high in the Alps. Our more literarily inclined readers may recognize Davos as the little village where Thomas Mann's magnificent novel, The Magic Mountain,
now, okay.
Focused in on America here now, where The Magic Mountain takes place. So Death Salbeberg, it's called in German, and it's a sanatorium town. It was where people with tuberculosis went to get cured or die.
I thought a sanatorium was where people who had mental problems were going.
No, it was tuberculosis. So
yeah, I know.
Davos is now the center of the World Economic Forum, which is a collection of the rich, the high, and the mighty from around the world who jet in on their private jets, even as they talk about climate change, and spend a week with panels and presentation papers and extremely expensive hookers, and they all have a great time for a week, and then they go back and tell us peons what we should do.
Well, so, apparently they're not much interested in the moral environment with the expensive hookers up there. That's not part of their objective, is it?
No, they're not religious in any meaningful sense, or certainly not Christian. But they do consider themselves the global elite, and they used the COVID panic of 2019-2020 as an excuse to write a book. Klaus Schwab, among others, wrote a book called COVID-19, The Great Reset, in which he decided that now was the time, with the world in chaos, that we should completely remake the economy. It's essentially fascism, which, properly defined in the terms that Mussolini meant it for Italy, say, in the 1920s and 30s, it's a combination of government and big business to achieve dominance over everybody else. And so climate change is the hoax of climate change, I should say, is a very big part of this. COVID-19 and the lockdowns, they were thrilled to use those, the kind of beta testing of how they want to be able to herd humanity around. And from this has come things that I hope some of your listeners are aware of, such as the idea of a 15-minute city where you will only have to, or parentheses, be allowed to travel 15 minutes from your home in order to get everything. And this is pitched as green and saving the environment. You don't have to drive everywhere. They don't want you driving, traveling. They don't want you eating, because cattle now creates methane, and that's killing the planet. So,
well, you've got to be able to grow some insects now, and now whole new meat businesses based upon insects are the going thing. We'll be right back with Michael Walsh after this, friends. Against the Great Reset, you're going to want to get a copy of this book. We'll make it available in just a moment.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Against the Great Reset, that's what we're talking about here today on Viewpoint with our special guest, Michael Walsh, who is the editor-in-chief, shall we say, of this book, 16 world-class, particularly in the Western world, observers. I suppose you could take almost any title that you want. These are the intellectual elite that are opposed to the very concept of the Great Reset. They're joining us here today through Michael Walsh concerning this wonderful book, Against the Great Reset. It's a $35 book, yours for $21. It's on our website, saveus.org. It's a 450-page book, hardbound. And for those of you who are really sincerely interested in this, you're probably not going to find a better book dealing directly with this subject. And I urge you to get a copy of it. It's on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Write a check at $5 for postage and handling. Now, Michael, at the beginning of your book, you talk about the very problem here, and I've highlighted a number of things that I'd like to just share and then have you comment about them.
Sure.
Beginning, if something as elemental, as essential to Western thought, as the authenticity of the Bible, not to mention God's linguistic ability, could be questioned and even mocked, then everything was on the table, including God himself, as revealed through a fellow by the name of Friedrich Nietzsche. With the death of God, or of God, he sought liberation from the moral bondage, so to speak, of Jesus. So it's fitting that the Great Reset of capitalism is the brainchild of the World Economic Forum, which hosts this annual conference in the Alpine village of Davos. In an age of atheism and disbelief, note the religious fervor of neo and cultural Marxism and the messianic quality of Schwab's anti-humanistic Great Reset. If the God of Abraham is dead and the Greco-Roman Christ is dead, reduced to a sacred avatar of weakness and failure, what is there left but man? Thus, the Great Reset brings us inevitably down to man becoming God. Is that not correct?
Yeah, that's basically the thesis behind, I think you quoted that from my introduction to
that's
the book.
Correct. I did.
So we have here 18 essays, including that introduction, by 17 writers, some of whose names I think will be familiar to our audience. Michael Anton, who came to prominence writing the Flight 91 election, which was a piece about how we had to vote for Trump, whether we liked him or not, in 2016. Conrad Black, Lord Conrad Black, Canadian-born press baron. The late Angelo Codevilla, who worked both in national security in Washington and taught at Boston University for many years. David Goldman, who's a good friend of mine, who's an economist and all-around savant of many things. Roger Kimball, who publishes the New Criterion and publishes Encounter Books as well. Douglas Murray, who is now quite well-known, who's a Brit, who is very much adamantly opposed to the Islamification of England. John Tierney, who wrote for many years for the New York Times, now writes for City Journal, and myself and a bunch of other people. And I asked each one of these fellows, there's one woman, Janice Fiamengo, who's based in Vancouver, Canada, to tackle certain aspects of this program, whether it's the economic program, the social program, the religious or anti-religious program of what the World Economic Forum proposes. And just to summarize it in their own words, you will own nothing and like it. That's what they want for everybody. Ownership will be outlawed. You'll eat bugs and like that because you can't have cattle. You won't be able to drive or fly because that's reserved for them. It's essentially a re-feudalization of world society that's a gleam in their eyes. And what's wonderful about Klaus Schwab is he speaks and looks like a James Bond villain. So he has a thick Dr. Strangelove accent, and he's bald and wears funny costumes, and he's actually quite a clown, but he's a dangerous clown.
Yeah.
So we just decided that the subtitle of this book is 18 Theses Conquer the New World Order. And, you know, from a religious point of view, obviously there's no place for religion of any kind, Christianity in particular, right, in the New World Order. And my final essay, which is called What an Artist Dies Within Me, which is a quote from the Emperor Nero, is actually about secularization and how the arts fit into the Great Reset thing. It's gotten a lot of negative comment from Christians in particular, because I approached religion in this particular essay as literature rather than dogmas. Not
oh,
the place
I see.
In this book to preach dogma. I'm a cradle Catholic, but I've spent in my new book, which I've just finished and will be coming out next year, talks a lot about Christianity, about the origins of Christianity, the victory of Constantine establishing the church as the religion of the Roman Empire in the 4th century. So I go into that quite a depth. But in this book, we're not really looking at religion per se, but we're looking at it, at least in my essay, as a part of the overall culture of the West,
right,
that these guys want to destroy. Now, Christianity is inseparable from Western
exactly culture. Okay, that's what I was going to get at, because when you really look at the whole picture, all of these other various, I would call them ancillary tributaries, so to speak, but the root of it all is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
The battle is spiritual.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's
you know
no
what?
Sorry, go ahead.
As I started getting into your book, I couldn't help but going back and reaching into my bookshelf to pick up my latest book called Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. It's a book that is so different than what people would normally expect from that title. But what I have done here is, in other terms, translated the massive spiritual import of all of this, what's happening in order to create this Great Reset, without even talking about the Great Reset.
Yes.
And so what is happening is there is a merger of a vast number of quasi-religious ideas, focuses, whether it's New Ageism, we could almost call it the Age of Aquarius meets the Great Reset. So what we're looking at here is something of such great import, so massive upon the planet, that it actually converts God into man. Man becomes the ultimate God, does he not?
Oh yes, and I address that in my final essay too, which, as I say, begins with this famous dying quotation from Nero. I would say there's no such thing as an atheist. It's just a question of which God you believe in and which false God you believe in. And I spent much of the Cold War behind the Iron Curtain. In both East Berlin. I was in Berlin when the wall came down.
Wow.
And in the Soviet Union. I was in the Soviet Union when Chernobyl blew up.
Were you also in Jericho when the walls came down?
No, I skipped that one.
You skipped that one, okay. Just checking.
that's for Joshua. But I was at these historic places when these things happened. And one time I went to view the Lenin Mausoleum, which is right out in front of the Kremlin on Red Square, beautiful mm-hmm. Red Square, Moscow. This would have been in around 86 or so. And got a VIP tour because the poor Russians always had to get out of the way of visiting Bigfoot Western journalists. I was working for Time magazine.
Ah, okay.
And the guy said, you know that this is a wax dummy, right? And, you know, it's a wax dummy. It's obviously a wax dummy. But even though communism was officially atheist, it had to have its dead messiah lying there about to get up off the slab at any minute now and restore the kingdom. So it aped Christianity in all of Christianity's most salient particulars
mm-hmm.
while being officially anti-Christian. Now, the irony was that Lenin's tomb is right kitty corner from St. Basil's Cathedral, the most famous church in Russia, of which they had they had kind of deconsecrated, but Vladimir Putin, who I first encountered in Dresden in 1985 when he was a young KGB agent there, he understood when he took power in what was left of the Soviet Union that he needed the churches on his side. It's important to remember that the Russians didn't fight for the Soviet Union in World War II. They fought for the motherland, the Holy Motherland.
Mm-hmm.
The Russians call Moscow the Third Rome. Because
exactly.
Rome was
I wrote
the
about
first
that
Rome.
In my book Messiah and on my book Antichrist.
Yeah. Then you know this concept.
Absolutely.
Second Rome, Moscow's the Third Rome. So he needed the churches on his side, and he co-opted the Russian Greek Orthodox Church as you to support him and gets a lot of support from that. So
all
in
right.
fact, Putin
well,
de-Christianized Russia.
Well, that's right. He Christianized and de-Christianized at the same time. He merged
yeah.
them together, and this is the spirit of what this Great Reset is going to look like, I believe. I want to make a statement, and then I would appreciate your response. It
sure.
appears to me that all of these governmental efforts to reframe the world, whatever they are, require and know that they require some kind of religious support. So, what do you make of the fact that the last three popes have each called for a new world order, that Pope Francis, the more so, has called for a new world order on no uncertain terms, and that he is doing the dance with Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum? It seems almost that they have become much like Vladimir Putin in the Russian Orthodox Church. What say you?
Well, I have no use for Pope Pancho, as we call him.
Okay.
He's a fat Italian who happened to have been born in Argentina. He's no more Hispanic than you are or I am. He just happens to speak Spanish as his first language and was born in Argentina, where the largest ethnic group in Argentina is Italian. So it's not surprising at all that he would be from there.
But his Jesuit. Seeming moral and spiritual gravitation to and even undergirding of Klaus Schwab and the whole concept of the World Economic Forum seems to me to be somewhat prescient.
Well, I think their interests align at a certain point. I was about to say he's a Jesuit, and Jesuits used to be Catholic and aren't anymore effectively. They're a militant order that has gone off the deep end for progressive leftist causes. And unfortunately, he's the first and hopefully the last Jesuit pope that we have, if the church can survive him. But they do align. They believe in preserving the earth. There's a kind of Gaia worship to them. To get into very briefly what my new book, which is called A Rage to Conquer, is about. I talk a lot about Edward Gibbon, the decline and fall of the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
And Gibbon's point and mine is that the Catholic Church effectively conducted a hostile takeover of the Roman Empire and has used all of the trappings of the empire to run a top.
Now, wait a minute. Have you read my last three books?
No.
I have all of those things discussed in detail in my last three books.
Good. Well, then
boy, are we ever on the same page.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's worth remembering that one of Julius Caesar's titles was Pontifex Maximus, which is also a title of the Pope.
So exactly.
That title in the Roman religion was just transferred over. But anyway, not to get into too much of a demolition of Catholicism at this point, because I am in Ireland, where we used to be a Catholic country. We're not anymore. The Great Reset is atheist. But it, as I just said earlier, atheists need new gods to replace the old gods. The Russians tried it and failed. Every fascist dictator, Hitler, tried it and failed, wants to create a new kind of man. The Russians called it the new Soviet man. It's
yeah.
Jean-Jacques Rousseau in the 18th century,
yeah.
who's the poor progenitor of all this.
Or
nonsense.
The new transhumanistic man. That's another term.
Oh, that's it.
Against the Great Reset, friends. It's going to be on our website, saveus.org. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint, friends. Viewpoint does determine destiny. There are no neutral viewpoints in our world. Your viewpoints are not neutral. Even the smallest of our viewpoints have the effect of setting the trajectory for destiny in one way or another. So it's very important that our viewpoints be in alignment with the word, the will, and the ways of God. That's my viewpoint. And it underlines everything we do here on this program, even though I spent 20 years as a trial lawyer, conducting the business of the law. But today we're talking about where things are really heading. Sovereignty and the nation state, both of which are concepts under attack in the name of equality and its totalitarian successor, equity. Everything is included within the realm of the Great Reset. You hear that it's all about economics, but it's not just about economics. The Great Reset, reading from the introduction to Michael Walsh's book here, Against the Great Reset. The Great Reset is not strictly limited to matters financial, pecuniary, or macroeconomic. Social and cultural spheres are of equal importance. The Reset's unholy relationship with the predatory big tech companies that currently abrogate the First Amendment by acting as government censors without actually being commanded by an act of Congress or increasingly an arbitrary presidential mandate. All of these things, friends, it reaches its tentacles into every single aspect of life. And the reason for that, I believe, is because the root of the Great Reset is fundamentally a final satanic inspired attack on God and raising humankind to be the new God of history. That's what I believe it's really about. And there's so many other things to be discussed concerning it, the details. And that's what you're going to find in this book, Against the Great Reset, 18 theses that are contrary to the new world order. Again, it's a $35 hardbound book, yours for $21. It's on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Now, Michael, there's so much in this book, and it's written by guys like Victor Hansen, who these are extremely intelligent folk who have a vast array of references to history, to the writings of history and so on, and kind of weave them all together in a way that speaks to the shall we say, the educated person, and also, if you're willing, speaks to anyone who has a will to see what is really happening in our world. That's my viewpoint as I've looked at it.
I think that's correct. I'm glad you mentioned Victor Hansen, who's an old and dear friend of mine as well. This book's not easy. It's not a quickie. It's as you mentioned, it's 400 and some pages long. And I was very flattered as the person who conceived this book and then went to each one of these writers individually to ask him or her to be part of it, that they all agreed to do it.
Were they instantly willing to agree?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Only a couple people turned me down.
But I think
this is as strong a collection as I could make it. And it's important to understand that this notion of the intersection of faith and government is quite important to me as a writer. Some years back, I wrote a book called The Devil's Pleasure Palace, which I highly recommend to your listeners.
Sounds fascinating.
It was published by Encounter Books. So that's the title of an opera that Franz Schubert wrote when he was a teenager. It was never produced, but I've always loved that title, so I stole it.
Well, confession's good for the soul, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
No plagiarism here.
No, what they say is, good writers borrow, great writers steal. So I stole. But this is a book really about culture, the intersection of culture and religion. And in this book, which came out, I think, around 2015, I used the term the satanic left, which, of course, threw them into absolute conniption of horror. Their nasty little poison tails started flying around in all directions and asked me, how dare I compare them to Satan? Well, how can you not, really, because they're obviously satanic in everything they do. And what I mean by satanic is not, you know, cloven hoofs and a red guy who's on fire. I use two important texts as the analysis, as tools of analysis. One was Milton's poem Paradise Lost, and, which is the sort of Protestant version of the Hebrew Bible, which comes out right around the same time, just after the the King James version of the Bible, and Goethe's Faust in German. I speak a little German. I lived in Germany for many years, so I use.
Is there any place you haven't lived, Michael?
Well,
wasn't. You didn't live in Jericho. That's correct.
No, I didn't live in Jericho. Satan is the original against guy. He hates God. He lost the fight with God. He lost the battle with St. Michael, to go back to the Miltonian retelling of primordial history. So what is the concept of Satan but someone who wishes to destroy rather than build? And this book came out and it was a huge hit in intellectual circles and in literary circles. I was very surprised by it, and I'm still getting royalty checks from it, from which I'm very, very grateful.
Well, I'm certain you're going to provide a copy of it to me, aren't you?
Well, I'll call my publisher. I'm sure they'll be happy. You know, the other thing writers never do is give away their books, because that's how we eat. So I wanted to point out that this notion of destruction is really important, and I want to say this to the listeners right now. I was asked by many people, part of the subtext of The Devil's Pleasure Palace is the Frankfurt School of Marxist philosophers whose terrible influence you now see all around you. Mm-hmm. They came with the mission of destroying America, and they've done a very good job of it. I think that battle for America is over, as a matter of fact, but that's a whole other discussion. In any case, people said to me, okay, so if the left wants to destroy Western civilization, Christianity, Judeo-Christianity, whatever the term you want. I use the word Greco-Roman Christianity.
That's exactly the term I use continually.
Because that's what it is. They said, well, then what do they want to replace it with? And I said, nothing. That's it. Nothing. Their point is destruction. Satan don't want to build a new world. He'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven, as Milton has him say. But he doesn't want anything constructive. So when you're dealing with the leftists, who are in ascendancy everywhere, Satan is winning this fight. God's shelling a peanut somewhere in heaven at the moment, and he's busy watching television.
Well, he's allowing the godless arrogancy to ascend to its highest place before it reaches its penultimate destruction.
No, I hope so. But right? Well, he's evident by his absence, let's put it that way, his current political situation. And it's really important to remember that these people only want to wreck things. There's a famous movie called Wall Street, directed by Oliver Stone. And in it, the young, innocent guy played by Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen playing a young, innocent guy is pretty funny, but it's Charlie Sheen. And he says to Michael Douglas about a company who's a Wall Street arbitrage, this Douglas character, why do you want to wreck this company? And Douglas says, because it's wreckable, okay? Because it's wreckable. Why do they want to wreck the United States? Because it's wreckable. Mm-mm. And it's the highest goal to wreck the United States, because that is, as a president I personally met and have a photograph to prove it with his autograph on it, Ronald Reagan said to me, said famously, you know, the last best hope of mankind is the United States. Well, they've done a very good job of wrecking it. Joe Biden is curiously the one who is doing what Obama said he would do but didn't.
Right. But if we go back to the root of this, we have to go back to the book of Ezekiel and the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, I think, 14, Ezekiel, whatever it was, 28 or something, where Satan says, I will ascend to the heights of the north. I will be like the Most High God. And so through his massive envy, did he not then choreograph a third of the angels of heaven to join him in his rebellion? And then he descends to the earth to do the same thing among the children of men. And now it's reaching its pinnacle of success, if you can call it that, the destruction. And isn't that really what the Great Reset is about?
Yes. Remember, again, using Milton as the text, not to debate theological points, but just as a literary construct. God creates man as his special plaything. He loves us more than the angels. And Satan realized the way to hurt God is through man, because God loves man.
Mm.
So he's made the destruction of man his primary goal. And, and that's the... I write movies in Hollywood, and among other things that I do, and that we would call the basic pitch of this story, this narrative, is that you have an all-powerful God who permits, for reasons that I'm sure you've debated many thousands of times, evil into the world, and Satan is the embodiment of that evil, and now this conflict between good and evil is what we all live through during our very brief time here on Earth.
And the Great Reset is setting up in a very organized fashion, choreographing the wealthy of the world and the atheistic leaders of the world, such as the Prime Minister of Canada, to, shall we say, lord it over the rest of the world and take away all freedoms in order to supposedly create the ultimate peace and freedom of the world. It is the...
Well, that's what they say.
That's what they say. And so we'll talk about that when we get back. I want to quote something you have here in your book. We'll be right back. Friends. Michael Walsh.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click sell church.
Again, friends, we're talking with Michael Walsh, the editor of the book Against the Great Reset, 18 different contributors to this book, Against the new world order set out by Klaus Schwab and the Great Reset. It's a $35 hardbound book, yours for $21 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Now, I want to quote again from Michael's essay at the beginning of the book, directly from the World Economic Forum's Great Reset website. Here it is. The COVID-19 crisis and the political, economic, and social disruptions it has caused is fundamentally changing the traditional context for decision-making. Leaders find themselves at a historic crossroads, managing short-term pressures against medium and long-term uncertainties. As we enter a unique window of opportunity to shape the recovery, this initiative will offer insights to help inform all those determining the future state of global relations, the direction of national economies, the priorities of societies, the nature of business models, and the management of a global common area. Drawing from the vision and vast expertise of the leaders, the Great Reset Initiative has set dimensions to build a new social contract that honors the dignity of every human being. Now, what they mean by the dignity of every human being is every human being because of God in his own right. That's what they really mean. So if we're all gods, then that brings peace on earth because you can't fight or dispute with a god, right? Everybody is a god in their own right. But our guest today says, immediately following that, the viper tongue of totalitarianism is most often bathed in palliatives before it strikes. In other words, it makes it sound so good and honorable. Where is the viper tongue of totalitarianism here, Michael?
Well, Satan enticed, remember, I think the most important thing about Satan is no matter what particular version of Christianity one professes, or Judaism for that matter, is that he uses your own best instincts against you.
So when he asked Eve in the garden, hath God said, he didn't want to know what God had said. He was going to put a spin on it to allow Eve to second guess or superimpose her own judgment over what God had said.
Maybe. I am kind of a Marcionite as far as the Old Testament is concerned. I don't have any use for it whatsoever other than as literary documents. But it's clear from Milton that the snake is sexually attracted to Eve. Go back and read those passages about what happens. But
there's a reason he's called the deceiver.
Yes, but my point being is that he will use your best instincts against you. And the tree of knowledge is you shall be as God if you eat from this tree of knowledge. And she does, and then she entices Adam to do the same thing. So as metaphor, that's hard to beat. And but I make the argument in the Devil's Pleasure Palace that this is what Christians call the felix culpa, the fortunate fall, that without the fall, we wouldn't be fully human. We would have no free will, for example. And that by making that choice, Eve's not the villain of the story, but kind of the hero of the story. But my larger point about Satan is he entices you with your own best instincts and knows where your weaknesses are. And that's what the Great Reset is all about. When Obama said, as you quoted him, and I mean, I'm 74 years old, so I remember these things now, being a gray beard. When he said we're 5 days away from fundamentally transforming, I said, I know exactly what he means. Exactly what he means. Because I've been hearing this since I went to college in 1967, when Herbert Marcuse was dominant among American philosophers, and he was one of the Frankfurt School philosophers. Fundamental transformation means critical theory. Critical theory means that everything that we view as sacred or stable needs to be questioned, attacked, and destroyed. Everything.
That's the Saul Alinsky approach, And he gave the methodology for accomplishing it.
Right, and I wrote a book called Rules for Radical Conservatives, which riffs on the Alinsky Rules for Radicals.
Mm-hmm.
So I've grown up with this, and I've known these guys since I was 17 years old. And so we felt that it was time to confront them directly, and I got as many intellectuals, good writers, too, believe me. I made them work. I must say, Chuck, you'll get a kick out of this. I made everybody work very, very hard on their essay because as a young journalist, I came up and I was fortunate enough to get called out of the blue by Time magazine when I was 31 years old, said, please come to New York and join the staff. Because you didn't ask Time to join, they asked you. And I went, and it was the best foundation for critical writing that I could possibly have had. And even someone as great as Conrad Black said to me, when we were finished, he said, Michael, I've never had to work so hard on a piece in my life.
Well, I can see that you made him work pretty hard.
Well, I said, Conrad, I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you very much. So what we've given the audience here in Against the Great Reset is it's homework. I mean, it's not light reading. It's not beach reading. But it's really important to understand what they're planning for you. If you're an observant Christian, if you're an agnostic, if you're Jewish, it doesn't really matter. To the overall argument of the book is what they want to take away from you is your freedom, and that is the essential quality that God gives us as human beings.
Exactly.
Freedom.
And so he did give freedom to Eve and Adam in the garden, and that's what made them human, and they used that freedom to the contrary, to their own destruction.
Well, but here we are on Earth.
There we are.
So, you know, I think philosophically, I mean, The Devil's Flesh and Palace, which is published by Encounter Books, by the way, is all about that. What would we be if we hadn't fallen? And we are fallen, therefore, are we not more human? So, again, this is a long conversation.
The story is about to end from a biblical standpoint, and we don't know exactly how long that will be, but I do believe we are in the period of time referred to, not just as the end times, because that began on the day of Pentecost, but we're in that period called the latter days of the end time, approaching what is called the day of the Lord. Therefore, these things really matter.
Well, I think they matter no matter what. I mean, remember, Christianity's gone through this before, and this around the turn of the millennium, there was a lot of feeling that these were the end times, and that, in fact, the early Christians believed Jesus was going to come back in their lifetime to restore the kingdom of Israel. They weren't thinking 2,000 years. They were thinking tomorrow will be just fine. Thank you very much. So it didn't happen.
Right.
And so I'd be willing to bet that it isn't going to happen in my lifetime. But you know what? I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
You might want to consider preparing, because that's why my latest book that I'm about to finish is called When Persecution Comes, Preparing for Perilous Times. So
I think that's important. I mean, remember that Christianity has been persecuted in the past. We think of it as being persecuted by Nero, but it really wasn't. Nero blamed the great fire of Rome on the Christians and doused them in tar and set them on fire to use as lamps in the Colosseum. But the actual persecutions came very, very late before Rome became Christianized. It was just prior to the ascendancy of Constantine that the real persecutions took place. So that's
Diocletian and those boys,
The persecutions to Diocletian is what I'm referring to. And so that's right at the end of the 3rd century, the beginning of the 4th century. Persecutions are done for political reasons, for religious reasons, for no reason whatsoever, just sheer animosity and craziness.
Well, it's all driven by envy, and I just traced that in my book, When Persecution Comes. Everywhere, envy is the root, goes all the way back to the Mount of God in the heavens, where Satan encountered God and said, I will be like the Most High God.
Well, that's it. I mean, that is the parable of the Garden of Eden, isn't it? Satan is envious, he's jealous. And because he would rather reign in hell, he wants to see the world destroyed. You know, to use a current metaphor, it's the Joker in Batman. At one point, the Joker says, or actually Alfred says to Batman, some men just want to watch the world burn. And that's what Satan is about.
Well, you know, I found your first chapter and your last or next to last chapter to be kind of like the bookends to the rest of the book. And
the next to last chapter written by Richard Fernandez, which is about religion and its place in the Great Reset. And Richard is a wonderful thinker. He's born in the Philippines. He lives in Australia now. Very much worth reading for your listeners. He publishes at PJ Media. He's a writer, but I asked him to tackle the conflict between faith and science, and he did a wonderful job on it.
Yeah, it was fascinating to read it, and you know, I commend you on what you've done here, and that's why I wanted to make sure that we brought you on. When this book first came across my desk, I thought I gave it to my producer. I said, "We've got to do this." Michael,
well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's such a privilege to have you come on, and all the way from Ireland, right?
Sitting right on the west coast of Ireland, looking out over the Aran Islands all the way to Boston.
So what's the future of Ireland?
Well, we just had a big election, a referendum, rather, that was defeated. It wanted to take the words women and family out of the Constitution because Ireland is run at the moment by active homosexuals and hysterical women, and it's really changed the nature of the country. Having overthrown Catholicism, they've now gone completely to the other direction, and it's I wrote a column at my website, which is thepipeline.org, the-pipeline.org, just yesterday, saying Happy Mammy's Day. It's Mother's Day in Ireland last Sunday. We put women back into the Constitution, but these are bad, bad people, and we have to try to stop them whenever we can. And part of my duty as a writer in nonfiction, fiction is different, but nonfiction, I've tried to mobilize people on our side, religious conservatives, agnostic conservatives, whatever, conservatives. So quick plug for what we're doing here. Against the Great Reset was the first book. And then coming out this fall is Against the Corporate Media. So if you think you hate the media now, wait till you read this book in September. It's just gone up on Amazon.
Yeah.
It's available for pre-order right now, Against the Corporate Media. It's 42 Ways the Press Hates You. So I hope that works.
You're not into promotion, are you?
Well, I write it, you got to eat.
It's called seizing the moment, right?
it is when the time. Carpe diem is the Latin.
Carpe diem, yeah. Okay, friends, again, the hardbound book, Against the Great Reset, 18 separate chapters against the New World Order. And what's fascinating is it was in the year 2000, as I recall it was. No, 1992. When George Herbert Walker Bush, right after...
He used that phrase, New World Order. Don't forget that.
Oh, that's what I was just ready to quote. In 1992, he stood before Congress, and he says, you know, this is the opportunity to be seized. We've got to seize this moment.
You know who else used that phrase? Hitler.
Is that right? Well, this is the first time that American president had ever used it. He used it 200 times during his administration. Friends, this is what we're facing. And remember, our relationship with the Lord is right at the heart of it. Get ready. People, get ready. As I say, Jesus is coming. Soon we'll be coming home. Michael Walsh, our special privilege to have you join us here on the program today. Get a copy of his book, Against the Great Reset. And friends, become a partner with us. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. You know we don't do advertising on this program. There's a reason for that. We rely exclusively on your donations as God inspires you. Take the opportunity. Do it today. The other guy's not doing it. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.